I'll begin in verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Well, because God is good, he directs us and guides us in our lives. You understand that? How many of you believe that? Amen. Everywhere, every path, that's God is directing. Now, do we always follow? No, unfortunately. Should we? Yes, we should, right? But do you understand that God, he knows all, he sees all. That's who God is. And yes, God is good, and God is this Father. And look back to our text here. You understand, he says here in verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will give him a stone. Or if he ask fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? He said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father be? By the way, there is no darkness, there is no evil in God. You understand that? So, I mean, that how much more is just indicative of who and what God is. He is good. He only knows good, if you will. That's all he can do is good. Okay? You understand that? And so God, that's who and what God is. And he wants to be that for us. His people, called by his name. And so as we consider this thing of prayer, once again, today we're going to get into kind of 3 different parts here. And this is the first of those 3 parts. But you understand, as Jesus says this here in Luke chapter 11, after he teaches his disciples to pray, he tells them what to do. He gives a story about a friend going to another friend for a need. And then he says in verse 9, he says this, ask and it shall be given you. See, that's the wonderful thing about scriptures. I don't have to come up with an outline for these things. You understand? The Bible puts them in there just for me. Now, I realized very quickly that in my personality and my style of things, if you will, that verse in Hebrews comes to mind, that time shall fail me to tell you, okay? So that I understand that of myself. So instead of 3 points to a sermon today of ask, seek, and knock, you're going to get 3 messages today, or starting today. Today we're going to talk about asking. Next week we're going to talk about seeking, and the week after we'll talk about knocking, okay? And so, because I can't say anything quickly.
Do you understand that of me, right? I mean, some of you have been roped into a conversation with me. You have to leave because otherwise we'll be here all day, all right? If I get you on the phone, sometimes it's that way. And it's really bad when Mrs. Lolly and I get on the phone together, because she's kind of that way. And so those of you that know Mrs. Lolly know that to be true. And so we kind of feed off each other. So sometimes I'm on the phone for 30 minutes with her. But I think it's important. All right. So I'm not going to bore you. At least I hope anyways. But the thing is, we really need to get a hold of this thing of asking. So to help us, I hate to do this. It really pains me. But I'm going to talk to you about English. How much I hate to do that. How many of you understand that there's things called transitive and intransitive verbs? Okay? Yes. Okay. How many of you don't even care what that means? Okay. Just thank you. Okay. All right. Well, it really has to do with like point of view or perspective. Okay. So in a transitive sense, to ask means to request. Okay. To seek and to obtain by words, to petition, before the person to whom the request is made. Okay, so in a transitive sense, we're going to God and it's with the words, before the person. So I'm gonna ask of God. Does that make sense? That in a transitive sense, so I'm going to go and make a request, if you will, of God. All right. So that's what the transitive sense means. So, but it's still a request. It's still seeking to obtain something. It's still a petition. We are asking it of God. You know, God, would you do this? Right. I mean, that's the sense of the word ask. Now, in the intransitive sense, it's to make a request or a petition followed by the word for. Okay, so so God, would you please provide, for, and so we ask God for our daily bread, right? We ask God for forgiveness of sins. That's the intransitive sense. All right. Now, without a whole complete English lesson on transitive and intransitive, you can do that on your own, at your own peril. Okay. And cause it will hurt. I promise. It always does. That's just how English is, right? Yeah. I'm reminded of, one of my uncles. He said he hated English so much that when he finished college English, he took the largest kitchen knife he had in his drawer, stabbed his book 100 times, and then lit it on fire. You know, that's how he felt about English, okay? I kind of feel that way. I kind of related to that. And he still has the kitchen knife in his drawer, missing the tip. It's gone. There you go. As far as this thing of asking, I want to caution us that asking is certainly a request, whether it's of or for, right? But it is a request. It is a seeking, right? It's a petition. It is not a demand. So asking is not to demand of God anything. Asking is not equivalent to claiming or requiring anything from God. It is not with that sense or boldness. Okay? So this thing of prayer is to realize that God doesn't owe us anything. And that we don't deserve anything. Nor are we at the point, when God says to boldly become, to boldly come before His throne of grace, right? Okay, that is not to say that God owes us anything. Or that we deserve anything from God. Or that we have the right to make any demands of God. You understand that? Who are you to think that God owes you anything or that you can go to God, to Almighty God, and demand anything? Okay, so that's not what God, and that's not what Jesus is teaching his disciples here. He is saying rather, in the servant's position, to request, to petition, to ask of God. In other words, Lord, would you? Or could you? You understand that we are to rather, this is all coming from Webster's Dictionary, by the way, you can look it up. But it's rather a begging or beseeching. You understand the terminology there. In other words, the cliche in our English language, beggars can't be choosers, right? So the thing is, that's the whole mindset, that I'm going to request of God, and if he decides to, great. Y'all understand this? We have these prayer lists that we ask of God for things. And do you understand that I would love for all these folks that have cancer to be relieved of their cancer? I mean, there's what, about a dozen on here that people have asked for cancer requests. I would love for that to all go away. But no, in no way, shape, or form should we demand that God do that. Or to think that we even, if you will, should receive that from God. That's the sense of this thing of ask and it shall be given you. That's what he says here, right? He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So we're going to talk about that this morning. But it's right for us to ask, but it's not right for us to demand or expect that God will. Because guess who's still in charge? God. Okay? Let me put this down on a level we can all digest very well. He talks about here, and Jesus even uses this example, of children asking their father for things. Right? But guess what? There are some things that I won't give to my kids because even though they're requesting it, it's not right for them. Every parent okay with that? Yeah. Sometimes, folks, we ask for things that we may desire or we may want, but that's just not the right thing. For instance, I don't think there's anybody in here that wouldn't like to have $1 million in their bank account. Anybody not want to have $1 million in your bank account? Yeah, right. Well, you can say that because you don't even have a bank account, I'm sure, right? Yeah, amen. Now listen, but honest, true, and I'm not even saying for bad or fleshly reasons even, right? I mean, wouldn't life be a whole lot easier, honestly, if we had $1 million in our bank account? Well, we would think so, right? How many of you would think that? It's okay. You're just like me. I'll raise both of my hands, okay? Alright. Now, that's what we think. But guess who knows? God does. Okay? Now, by the way, is it wrong for us to ask God for $1 million? It's not wrong. Right? We're going to talk about that at the end of the message. By the way, just so you know, I haven't put this on the prayer list or anything, but I'm praying that God gives our church $2 million. You say, why not just $1 million? Well, two is better than one. Okay? I have a reason for that. How many of you would like to see our church grow so that we'd have to build a new building? Wouldn't that be great? Okay? By the way, that's not for our glory, it's for God's glory. And that would mean that the kingdom of God is being furthered and people being saved and baptized and added to the church. By the way, that's a Bible thing. That's what we should hope and pray for, right? Okay. But guess what buildings cost? Money. All right? And by the way, God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. We talked about that on Wednesday night, that God owns everything. But please understand me today that it's okay to ask. God wants us to ask. But by the way, I'm not expecting anything. I'm not demanding. God, give it to us now or else. Or else what? But do you see the attitude? So here's what Jesus is trying to teach. You understand that to beseech and to beg, if you will, implies that there's an urgency. That there's a request, that there's a desire, and that we are looking for the favor of God. Right? I mean, how many times in Scripture can you think back to an interaction between God and man, or between a master and a servant, and they say, "If I've found favor in your sight." You all understand that? And that's how it should be with us. That should be the heart attitude with us. So you may turn over to Matthew chapter 7. This is, of course, the sister verses of this passage. Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7. Jesus gets into this thing here. And of course, in Matthew chapter 7, there's a lot more in this particular excerpt that Luke does not include. And by the way, that's not an omission of Scripture or anything. This is how God laid it out. The different perspectives of these different men writing the Scriptures. That's why we have these things, okay? So, but look at chapter 7. Matthew also talks about this. And he says this, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find." This is verse 7. "Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened." He says, "Or what man is there of you whom, if his son will ask, bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" He says, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophet." So he kind of extends this a little bit more than what Luke says. But do you understand the it's setting the attitude, it's setting the emotions, the feelings, or what God desires of this interaction of us with him in prayer. It's being a true servant of God. Let's think back to James. If you want to turn over there, you can. I'm going to kind of skip ahead, but I'm going to come back. In chapter 4 of the book of James, James says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? They come not hence even of your lusts that war in your members. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot attain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not." So first, the first problem is, you don't have because you're not asking, right? Jesus says, "Ask and ye shall receive." That's very plain and simple, right? James bolsters or supports that idea. Ye have not because ye... Okay, now how many of you, you'd say, "You know what, Pastor? You're kind of right on this area. I really haven't been asking God for much of anything. Not even my daily bread, like it says in the model prayer. I've just kind of been, I've got a job, and I have money in the bank, and, you know, we go and buy our groceries and get the things that we need and pay our bills, and I've not really asked God to supply any of my daily needs." By the way, that's where most of us kind of live. Think about that. Just think about that. Think about this last week. Have you asked God to supply what you need for your daily necessities? You say no, because they're already supplied. But isn't that what God says we're supposed to do in prayer? Even if we already have what we need, right? Well, that's the idea. Anyways, he says, you have not because you ask not. Well, then he says here, this about our lust, in the next verse, he says, ye ask. So he says, you do ask, but you receive not. Now, back to our text. Let me just repeat what we got here. He says this. He says, ask, and it shall be given you. You see that, right? And then he says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. All right, keep that in mind. And then let's think to what James says. James says, ye ask and receive not. Why? Because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Okay, now this is going to speak to motive, or this is going to speak to our attitude, or the reason for asking. Now, Jesus doesn't necessarily talk about that in Luke and in Matthew. But all through the Bible, we have some examples that we're going to see today about people that asked things of God and what their motive was and what their purpose was. Everybody okay with that? All right. So in light of our text today in Luke chapter 11 and in Matthew chapter 7, and in light of what James says about asking and receiving, we have to understand there's a principle. There's an overriding principle. The first overriding principle is that we need to ask. Okay? We should want to come to God for everything. Now let me track us back to our theme for the year, Philippians 4, right? In everything, by prayer. Does that mean big things? Small things? Intermediate things? Yeah. Everything. God, would you provide what we need this week? Say, Pastor, that's a redundant prayer because I have a job. I'm going to receive a paycheck. Oh, really? Are you sure about that? I'm thinking of a dear friend that did have a job, that put in the work, but because of mismanagement, the company did not send out the paychecks. What now? You say, does that mean that you're trying to say that they should have asked God and they would have gotten the paycheck? I don't know. It kind of makes sense to me. I just want all of us to think, because I do this too. I've chosen the method of payment. I get paid once a month. Do I really think about it? No. I really don't. I've been careless in that regard. But God has reminded me that I need to ask Him for my daily bread. Because where does it turn my focus if I do that? It turns my focus to God and takes the focus off of me. When I go to the store and I just swipe the card and buy the groceries, am I really relying on God? No, I'm really relying on Visa. Many of our gods are Visa and MasterCard and Discover and American Express. You know? And we just know that when we tap it or when we swipe it or we stick the chip in there, that it's going to say approved. Right? And then what do we get to do? We get to walk out of the store with our bags of groceries. Come on, I'm trying to be real. Ask, and it shall be given you. Ask, and ye shall receive. God, in His teaching, told His disciples, when you pray, He says, you need to ask God for your daily bread. By the way, when we get saved, does God forgive our sins, past, present, and future? He does. But what does 1 John tell us? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to... Now, again, that's not re-salvation. That's restoration of fellowship. Those sins that we've committed or will commit are already forgiven. But what are we supposed to do? Confess and forsake them. Does God know that you're going to sin tomorrow? He does. And guess what? When you do, what does He want you to do? Come and ask for forgiveness. Are you getting this? Ask and you shall receive. He still wants us to ask. He still wants us to come before His throne and beseech Him and ask Him. It doesn't matter that He already knows. If you will, it doesn't matter that He's already provided. It doesn't matter that He's already forgiven. He still wants us to come to Him and receive of Him and receive from Him, both transitive and intransitive. That's what we're talking about today. And He says, we have not, James does, because we ask not. And He says, we not only that, but we have not because we ask amiss. Now, this speaks to our motive. This doesn't speak to us not coming to Him and not asking. That's one part. But the second principle is our motive. Now, there are all kinds of scriptures that give us examples of the right kind of motive. Okay, now look here at John. Just listen. I'll read these quickly because we're running out of time already. Because it's my fault. John chapter 11. Remember this? Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Lazarus was sick. He died, right? Jesus is having a conversation with Mary here. I'm sorry, with Martha. And when Jesus came, He found that He had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever Thou wilt ask of God, God will give it Thee. So this is good, right? Mary has spiritual understanding. She knows who Jesus is and what He can accomplish. Everybody okay with that? She has that confidence in Him. And she says to him, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her then, thy brother shall rise again. Again, Martha, having confidence in the Lord and understanding salvation, she says to Jesus, I know that He shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Okay, this is good, right? Jesus and Martha are having this conversation. A lot of people kind of peg Martha in a bad way, if you will, as far as her attitude toward Christ. But she obviously is a believer. She obviously understands these things. She obviously has confidence in the Lord. Now, listen to what she says. And what He says to her. He says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto Him, yea, Lord, I believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. So they have this conversation, but do you understand that Martha has a belief that whatever she asks and whatever Jesus asks of God, that they'll receive. And she's thinking about the future, the resurrection, and she understands that. But we find that this was for God's glory. I think if Martha would have said, Lord, would You raise Him from the dead? He would have let her know that that's what His intent was. He was trying to kind of hint toward it. But we just have to ask. If you think back to your studies in the scriptures, actually, Brother Frankie just talked about this in the last couple of messages about the prayer of Jabez. I think he told me was it Sunday? I think he preached about this. And in 1 Chronicles 4, it's basically really the only record we have of this. This prayer, it's one verse. It talks about him being more honorable than all his brethren. We don't know the context of it. We don't know why Jabez asked of this of God. But all we know is that he was honorable, that he did ask God, and he did receive from God. That's what we know. Listen to his prayer. He said, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." Now think about that. What does that sound like to you? Does that sound like a demand? Does that sound like entitlement? Does it sound like, "God, you owe me"? No, it sounds like begging and beseeching, right? "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." This sounds good, right? Does this kind of sound like what Jesus taught? Give us this day our daily bread and deliver us from evil, right? All those things are there. And was Jabez asking God for these things? Yes. And by the way, by the hand of God, did he receive them? Yes, he did. The Bible tells us, "And God granted him that which he requested." If you turn your Bibles, if you want to, over to 1 Kings chapter 3. Now, this is interesting, because there's a little bit of complexity here, okay? But look at verse 1. It says, "And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt." By the way, bad idea. "And took Pharaoh's daughter," again, bad idea, "and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord, and the wall of Jerusalem round about." Okay? "Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days." Now, so far, these decisions in the first few verses here haven't hurt Solomon. They will very soon. At this point in time, his heart was still true to the Lord. How do we know? By the next verse, it says, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father." By the way, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. "And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.'" Okay, now, so we need to understand here that at this point in time, these poor decisions that Solomon has begun to make have not yet affected his relationship with the Lord. And God's trying to steer him in the right direction. By the way, you could read this account in Chronicles as well, and you can understand that God warns him and says, "Look, be careful of your heart. Serve me with your whole heart. Don't let other things turn your heart away from me." And by the way, in his old age, what happened? Yeah, the wisest man in all the world had his heart turned away from God because he did not heed these warnings. But at this point in time, God says to Solomon, "Ask." What did Jesus say to his disciples? "Ask, and it shall be given you." So, at this point, Solomon's heart was still right toward the Lord. So what are one of the principles about asking? That our heart needs to be right toward the Lord. What does the Bible say in Proverbs? "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him." And what? So what is asking of God? Is that acknowledging Him? It is. Because when we come to a place where we're humbling ourselves before God, because by the way, doesn't it take a measure of humbleness to ask someone of something? It does. How many of you like to ask for help? You look for opportunities to ask for help, right? Not usually, right? Usually, what's the truth? You exhaust everything you can do, and then when there's no other choice, then you do what? You ask for help. What's God saying to us? Come to me first. To whom that asketh, receiveth, right? Then that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And God wants us to come to Him. It says He loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David His father. Over in 1 Samuel, remember Hannah coming to the temple there. Now, what did she just really want? A son. What did God give her? A son. And what did she do with that son? She gave him to the Lord. Is that a pure motive? A pure heart? Yes, it was. In Matthew 6, Jesus warns and says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that it shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." But by the way, what does that insinuate? That you still ask Him. Right? Before you ask Him means you're going to ask Him. But He says, don't do it like the heathen do. Not with vain repetitions, for they think they'll be heard for their much speaking. In Matthew 18, Jesus says, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven." Listen to this. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." What does that speak to? The right motive. When you ask for things, like James says, and you ask amiss, how can you ask that in the name of Jesus? To consume it upon your own lusts. Right? You can't, can you? Because it's according to what He desires and what He wants. Before, I've told you before when we've talked about this in previous messages, that when we come to God and ask of Him things, it's not to consume for our own purpose and plan. It's really to ask for Him so that we can be a better servant of God. So it's really from Him, for us, for Him. Right? Because why do I want to be strengthened? I hope it's not for my own benefit. But I hope it's so that I can serve God better. Do you understand? Why did Solomon ask God what he asked God? For his own benefit? I really don't think so at that time. Remember his words, what he said? Solomon said to the Lord back in 1 Kings, he said, "And Lord God, Thou hast made Thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in, and Thy servant is in the midst of Thy people which Thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give therefore Thy servant an understanding heart to judge Thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people?" I don't see anything selfish or ill-willed of Solomon at all, do you? I don't. And God gave him that wisdom, but He also gave him the riches and everything else. The influence, the power. God gave him those requests. Jesus says, concerning our motive, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, and he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So think about that. He's saying you ask what you will. Well, what if I ask for a brand new car? No, if you're abiding in Christ, your fleshly desires and your worldly desires don't exist. His desires exist. That's what it means to abide. To become as one. Guess what? Then his will becomes your will. And his desires become your desires. And when that happens, what you're asking for is what he wants in your life. By the way, if a new car will help me win people to Christ, guess what God will give me? He'll give me a new car. If an old car is what I need to win people to Christ, guess what he'll give me? An old car. I even hate to say this, but since I'm going to be spiritual today, I don't think God would do this, but if God decided to give me a Chevrolet to win people to Christ, I guess I'd have to submit to the will of God. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. Actually, I know that's not going to happen. No, I think to tease. But you know what? Truth be told, I should follow what God leads, right? Whether my personal preferences are in the way or not. Do y'all understand that? That's hard for me to say. I'm a Ford owner. That's hard for me. But isn't it true? I think as Christians we struggle with this thing of asking and receiving. Because it means that we have to fully rely on God. We have to set our personal preferences aside. We have to set aside our desires, our abilities, and completely trust him. By the way, isn't that the whole really reason for this thing of prayer and communion with God? I need to quit. John says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. So he's talking about our heart, right? So if it's going to condemn us, if it's against God, we're not going to receive this. But if it's with God, here's what we're going to get. He says, but if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. What is this? What does Jesus say? Ask and ye shall receive. Because, John says, we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You see, it's qualified. Asking and receiving is not a blank check, folks. Well, God says, if we ask, we'll receive. So, God, you owe me. You see where that can go? Whatever I ask, God, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. So if I want $1 million, you got to give it to me. But it's not open-ended like that, is it? You say, but Jesus didn't say that in Luke chapter 11. Jesus didn't say that in Matthew chapter 6. No, he didn't. But all the principles in the scriptures together reveal to us that there's a motive. A motive of the heart. And I love how John puts it. He says, look, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever ask, we receive of him because we're abiding in him, as Jesus said in John 14 and John 16. Because we are concerned about the will of the Father, not our own will. Because we are in tune with what God wants in our lives as a servant of God, we can boldly come and we can ask and we can receive, because it's not to be consumed upon our own lusts and our own desires and our own benefit, but for His. His desires, His benefit, for His glory. And that's the key to asking and receiving. In James 4, James kind of concludes this idea. And he says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. And really, that's the key to asking and receiving. Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given you. Whosoever asketh, receiveth. And we need to, as Christians, understand that no matter what you're going through, you need to ask God and receive of God. And you need to do it, and you need to do it with the right motive. That's asking.